Today is Wednesday, October 23rd. Good afternoon for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulatz. There have been 72 wildfires across Wisconsin in the past week, burning a total of 925 acres. Most of them were started by equipment like mowing operations, recreational vehicles, and more. But burning debris, even when it's been banned, has still been happening. Don't do it. One spark, even as small as a cigarette butt, can start a fire. With high winds and dry conditions, the fire danger is high for Richland and surrounding counties. However, just northeast in Juneau County and north and east of that, the fire danger is very high. We need more rain, and the drought conditions are only worsening. Currently, 64% of the state is in a drought, with 20% at severe status. With Donald Trump's encouragement, Republicans are joining Democrats at the polls to cast their ballots early this year. The surge of GOP voters has helped break records for early voting in certain swing states such as Georgia and Nevada. Nearly 19 million early votes had been cast as of Tuesday. Campaigns typically try to get their voters to cast ballots early, either in person or by mail, so they can focus on turning out marginal voters on Election Day. But when Trump condemned early voting in 2020 and 2022, many Republicans stopped doing it. It's unclear what the early turnout means for the presidential election because it only factors in a voter's registration, not their actual vote. Minnesota Governor and Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Tim Walz joined by former President Barack Obama to campaign for Kamala Harris at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison Tuesday. Both urged Wisconsinites to get out and early vote, with in-person early voting officially kicking off in Wisconsin yesterday. Democratic candidate for Congress Rebecca Cook will be in La Crosse today for a pair of events. She will appear with State Senator Brad Paff, Assembly Representative Jill Billings, and UWL Democrats for an early voting block party this afternoon. Cook will also be part of a forum put on by the La Crosse Area Chamber of Commerce. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden took part in a chamber forum Monday and was in Sparta yesterday to rally supporters to vote early. The election is on November 5th. UW President Jay Rothman toured UW La Crosse yesterday to hear feedback on campus needs and priorities. Rothman said the number one thing that he's heard from all UW schools is about funding from the state legislature. UW is asking for $850 million out of the state surplus funds to help balance budgets across the state. Multiple branch campuses have been closed and dozens of employees have been laid off as universities grapple with rising cost. For UWL, one priority is funding the Prairie Springs Science Center. UW-Madison is leading a nationwide Alzheimer's study. UW-Madison was granted over $150 million by the National Institutes of Health to lead the study. The largest NIH grant in UW history, it's called the Clarity in Alzheimer's Disease and Related Dementias Research Through Imaging Study, or Clarity. The goal is to track the presence, absence, or change in molecules that are biomarkers in people with dementia or at risk of developing it. UW-Madison was selected to pilot the study's first series of brain scans because of its established network of participants. The five-year study of about 2,000 participants launched in August and involves 37 Alzheimer's research centers across the U.S. The Richland School District held its annual meeting Monday night. The administration shared the proposed budget for the 2024-25 school year. It shows a revenue of $22,718,424 and expenditures at $22,656,107 for a difference of $62,317. The total tax levy allowable for the Richland School District is $10,035,314. The proposed mill rate for property owners in the Richland School District is $8.76 per $1,000 of property. This is a decrease from $9.12. Those in attendance at the annual meeting approved levying a tax in the amount of $7,713,140 upon all taxable property in the Richland School District for the purpose of paying necessary expenses to operate and maintain the schools during the 2024-25 school year. Included in the levy is $181,918 for principal and interest payments on district debt service within the revenue limit. The annual meeting also included a year in review. Richland Center Primary School Principal Amy Hardy reported that the 2023-24 school year was filled with exciting activities and a continued focus on student engagement and community involvement. Throughout the year, scholastic book fairs were held, providing students and families with access to a variety of books and encouraging a love for reading. Lisa Brown serves as the intermediate school principal. The intermediate school had an engaging 2023-24 school year with a focus on student growth, leadership, and community service. One of the significant highlights was the continuation of the School Garden Initiative, where students learned about sustainable practices and participated in the planting and maintenance of the garden. This hands-on experience provided valuable lessons in teamwork, responsibility, and environmental stewardship. Throughout the year, the students also participated in Career Day and Career Dress-Up Day, which encouraged them to explore various career paths and envision their future. The school emphasized community service through initiatives such as the Hornet High Food Drive, which exceeded the goal of collecting 2,000 items, and Red Ribbon Week, where students participated in themed dress-up days promoting healthy choices. Liz Perkins and Ryan Lemke are co-principals at the Richland Center High School. The 2023-24 academic year at the high school was characterized by both academic excellence and student involvement in extracurricular activities. The year began with a strong start, with students participating in scholastic book fairs and a variety of academic contests that emphasized literacy and numeracy. The school continued to promote student leadership through clubs and organizations, such as the Student Council, which led efforts in organizing Homecoming Week, Valentine's Day fundraisers, and other key events. Musical performances were a staple of the year, with choir members performing the national anthem at sporting events and the band showcasing their talents at concerts and competitions. In academics, advanced placement exams were a highlight, with students in AP capstone classes taking on research projects that tackled real-world issues. The school's academic quiz bowl teams also participated in regional competitions, showcasing the high level of student engagement in academic pursuits. The first year of the partner school was a period of growth and community, where Kim Siefkes is the lead teacher. Throughout the year, students and staff worked together on various community outreach programs, reinforcing the importance of giving back. The school's leadership team was actively involved in service learning, with projects designed to enhance student leadership skills and community engagement. The school looks forward to building upon these successes in the upcoming school year. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville's Pioneer Farm is at the forefront of innovation. The recent integration of a system that measures cow burps and one that monitors individual feed consumption, Pioneer Farm is setting a new standard in precision herd management. These advancements not only enhance cattle well-being, but also generate data that drives sustainability and efficiency in the global dairy industry. This makes UW-Platteville School of Agriculture a leader in the tri-state area. Pioneer Farm is a 430-acre working farm that offers students experiences with dairy, swine, beef, and soil operations. The Green Feed Machine is a piece of technology designed to monitor and measure the gas emissions from cows, specifically focusing on their burps. This machine is placed in feeding areas where cows can freely approach it. Each cow is fitted with a tag recognizing individual cows and dispensing feed pellets as a lure. While the cows eat and regurgitate their food, the machine captures the gases they emit and analyzes its composition, measuring key gases such as oxygen, carbon dioxide, methane, and hydrogen. By calculating the speed of the gas flow and its composition, researchers can estimate the daily flux of methane emitted by each cow. By analyzing the gas profile, the efficiency of the fermentation process inside the cow and can be analyzed, and shifts in nutritional imbalances can be identified. The university also received RIC2 Discover feed intake machines that play a role in managing dairy cattle nutrition, 24 specialized feed stations, each equipped with a large bin designed to hold a day's worth of feed, and an integrated weigh scale are used. The cow's RFID tag interacts with the feed station to record precise measurements of feed intake. As a cow eats from the station, its weight is recorded before and after the meal, providing data on the amount consumed. This allows monitoring of the well-being and productivity of the herd, allowing for individualized feed management and efficient farm operations with minimal labor. By streamlining the process of tracking and analyzing feed intake, UW-Platteville enhances both the health of the cows and the overall effectiveness of dairy management. Some faculty members and technology, including the feed intake machines, are sponsored by the Dairy Innovation Hub, which the state is supporting with $7.8 million a year. The hub leverages research and development at UW-Platteville, UW-Madison, and UW-River Falls. There will be more New Glarus beer on the way next year. The brewery is expanding its operations in New Glarus, adding on a new $55 million hospitality wing to its campus. Brewery officials say they want to meet the needs of visitors and increase their brewing and distilling space. More information will be released at a groundbreaking next week. Identity thieves will try anything to obtain personal information. Usually, they pretend to be someone important who tries scaring their victims into giving information or paying money. Individuals may even be targeted through jury duty scams. Michelle Reinen is with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection.
This is a scam that is circulating and has for a while, but it goes through those peaks and valleys here. And we want to make sure everyone is aware because missing jury duty can have real consequences. You could face a fine, be required to go to court, or even get arrested. And scammers take advantage of that. They try and get your money and your personal information because they try and throw you off kilter by saying that you've missed jury duty.
The imposters will make every attempt to get information and may even try to scare those they contact.
How this scam usually starts is with a phone call or an email from someone claiming to be a court official or someone from a law enforcement agency, and they say you've missed jury duty, even though you never got a jury notice, which comes by mail. And now there's a warrant for your arrest. The only way to cancel the warrant is to pay a fine and confirm your identity by providing your personal information like a social security number and date of birth, which we always want you to keep confidential. If you refuse, they may threaten you with jail time, which is going to really make you nervous. And to make this scheme even seem more legitimate, the scammers also might give you a fake badge number and case number. So this is one where they throw a lot of different twists and turns at you to just throw you off kilter again so you don't have that rational thought process in place.
Michelle Reinen says that a court official will not try to obtain personal info or money over the phone.
They're never going to ask for immediate payment over the phone. No government agency does that by phone. And only scammers insist that you can only pay with gift cards, payment apps, cryptocurrency, wire transfers. And they use these methods because it's very hard to get your money back if you pay, and they're very hard to trace. Courts never ask for that sensitive personal information over the phone, like that social security number and date of birth. If they've issued you a notice in writing by mail, then they're not going to be asking you for that data by the phone. Each court follows up differently if you've actually missed jury duty. You will be contacted by the court if you've missed, and it varies by municipality, but they won't immediately go to jail, and you don't have to pay a fine immediately. There are other options that the court will go through with you.
If you suspect or are a victim of a jury duty scam, you can contact DADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. A traffic stop near a Reno led to two people being taken into custody. Last night around 6:50, the Iowa County Sheriff's deputies conducted a traffic stop on U.S. Highway 14 and County Road C in the township of Arena. As a result of the stop, Michael B. Perkins, 46 of Muscadet, was arrested on charges of possession with intent to deliver amphetamines, resisting or obstructing an officer, possession of drug paraphernalia for the manufacture of methamphetamine, 4 counts of felony bail jumping, and possession of THC. Michelle L. Olson, 46 of Muscadet, was arrested on charges of possession of drug paraphernalia for the manufacture of methamphetamine, possession of THC, possession with intent to deliver amphetamines, resisting or obstructing an officer, and 2 counts of felony bail jumping. Perkins and Olson were transported to the Iowa County Jail, where they remain in custody. Today is the day to drop off your entries for the 2nd annual Richland Center Pumpkin Fest. Pumpkins for competition and display can be dropped off at the courthouse lawn display area today, starting at 3:30. Entries will be accepted until 7. Pumpkins will be on display through Sunday, with many fun events happening throughout the weekend. You can find more information at rcchamber.org/pumpkinfest and also on the Richland Center Pumpkin Fest Facebook page. The deadline is approaching to fill the vacancy in Supervisory District 6 of the Richland County Board of Supervisors. Those at least 18 years of age interested in being appointed as a county board supervisor from the vacant district can submit a letter of consideration to the county clerk by 4:30 Friday. The letter should contain your name and address and a brief statement of qualifications to serve on the county board. Submissions may be mailed to the Richland County Clerk. However, to get there, to be sure to be there by Friday, email to derek.kalish@co.richland.wi.us. The vacancy will be filled from the list of applicants at the county board meeting Tuesday, November 19th at 7 o'clock. Nonprofit organizations, businesses, schools, and local government agencies located in and serving Richland County and its residents are eligible to apply for grant funding to support prevention, treatment, and recovery related to the opioid epidemic. Funding can be requested by completing an application and submitting it to the attention of the Director of Richland County Health and Human Services by 4:30 Monday. Applications will be reviewed at the Health and Community Services Committee meeting November 7th at 9:30. All applicants are required to be present at the meeting. A final review and approval by the Richland County Board of Supervisors will occur on December 10th. Questions regarding this grant opportunity may be directed to the HHS Director, Tricia Clements, at 608-649-5935.